In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want you to imagine it's the last day. It's Judgment Day. The day Christ is returning to judge all people. And I want you to imagine that you get to witness the Lord Jesus judging the people. You are a spectator. In one case, you see a bunch of religious teachers, pastors, priests, bishops, ministers, religious professors, some of the movers and shakers of the religious front, approaching the Lord on his throne. And there you think, oh, this is going to be so easy for them. They have it made. In fact, the Lord should just give them a pass right now and save some time to slam dunk. You hear them making the plea to the Lord on why they should be let into the kingdom of heaven. You hear them making their case, and it's actually very convincing. They argue effectively. Did we not preach eloquent and practical sermons that the people just loved? Did we not encourage people to give generously to your church? Did we not pack the pews with lots of people? Did we not give good PR to those in the community? Did we not reach out to the community with one good idea after the next? Did we not do some amazing and great things all in your name? You can't help but think, how can you argue with all that? But what would you think witnessing all of that if you heard the Lord Jesus say to them, I don't know who you are. Leave me now and get out. Wouldn't you be shocked? Stunned? Wouldn't your jaw hit the ground? Maybe you would even think, if they're not going to make it, who in the world can? Do you realize that this is very similar to what Jesus said today in the gospel of what would happen on the last day? I mean, listen carefully to what Jesus says in the gospel about the last day. He says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Imagine how shocking that must have been to those who first heard Jesus say this. How many jaws must have hit the ground? How many must have been stunned? I mean, these are all good things to do, right? Prophesying in Jesus' name? Casting out demons in the name of Jesus? Doing mighty works in his name? And yet, Jesus doesn't know them? How distressing is that? Do you have any idea why these religious teachers, why they didn't make it? Why Jesus doesn't know them? Why Jesus even calls them workers of lawlessness? Do you know why? It's because of what Jesus had just said just before this. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he enters the kingdom of heaven. These religious teachers, they did not do the will of his Father who is in heaven. Plain and simple. So, what is the will of the Father? We don't have to speculate. Jesus tells us clearly in John chapter 6. He says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." The will of the Father is that we believe in his Son, Jesus, that we trust in him, that we place our confidence in him. That was the problem with these religious teachers and the false prophets. They did not place their confidence in Jesus. They didn't place their trust in him. And therefore, they didn't do the will of the Heavenly Father. Do you remember how they spoke to the Lord Jesus? Basically boasted, saying, "Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty works in your name? Did we not? Did we not? Did we not? We this, we that." It's all about what they did. It's about them thinking that the Lord now owes them. It's all about them thinking it's now their payday. Who did they place their confidence in? In Jesus? No, not at all. They placed their confidence in themselves. And thus, he does not know them. Friends in Christ, the will of the Father in heaven is simple. It's that he wills that you place your confidence in his Son Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the Savior. He's the Savior of sinners. Sinners who know they can't place their confidence in themselves before God, that they have nothing to boast about before him. These are the ones that Jesus knows. He doesn't know those who boast and brag about all that they've done, saying, "Didn't we do this for you? Didn't we do that for you?" If you want to be welcomed by Jesus on the last day, it is best not to brag and to boast over your accomplishments before him. How many times have we done that in our hearts? How many times have we boasted in our thoughts, thinking, "I think God owes me a little bit more"? How many times have we thought of ourselves better than others before the Lord? And how many times have we placed our confidence in ourselves before God? Repent. Repent for placing confidence in yourself before the Lord. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. But you know what? Jesus came for sinners and sinners who know it. He died for your sins and he rose again. Bring your shortcomings to him. He forgives you. And realize that in baptism, he knows you. You are known by him. Therefore, don't let anyone draw you away from what Jesus did for you on the cross. Don't let anyone draw you to be like those religious teachers, those false prophets in the gospel who did not focus on Jesus. Don't let anyone draw you away from your baptism. The Lord Jesus is the one you place your confidence in. It's not yourself or what you've done, but it's in Him. It's in Him alone. Place your confidence in Him. For brothers and sisters in Christ, He knows you. You're known by Him. And as you do place your confidence in Jesus, as He knows you, as you are known by Him, the Holy Spirit comes and He bears good fruits in you. Today, Jesus says, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. You have been declared to be a healthy tree. And what is the good fruit that the Lord works in you, that you bear? Well, the good fruit is, instead of bragging before Him, you fall down before Him and you beg, Lord, have mercy on me. The good fruit is, instead of placing any confidence in yourself before Him, you place 100% confidence in Christ Jesus. And the good fruit is that instead of abusing God's grace and His forgiveness and purposely sinning, presuming, oh, I'll sin now and God will forgive me later and I can do whatever I feel like doing, you come to hate with a godly hatred sin and to constantly fight against the sins that stubbornly trip you up, all with the help of the Holy Spirit and the longing for the Holy Spirit to keep helping you in the struggles in the Christian life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, again, I want you to imagine you are there on the last day. It will happen. But this time you're not a spectator. You are a participant. It is your turn. But you have nothing to brag about, nothing to boast about. No confidence to place in yourself before Him. But there is no need to be afraid. All you can say is what you've always said here in church, week after week. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. He has. He does. He will, and He will say, come to my kingdom. I know you. I will always know you. Until that day, place your confidence in Him. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.